Hello and welcome to episode 69 of the Daybotcast.
Yep.
This is a weekly podcast where the three of us come together each week to talk about K-pop and whatever's current in the industry. This week we have our releases week. However, we're doing it a little differently. So please leave some feedback in the comments about like what you think about this format. If it's a lot easier to digest and stuff like that. And then we also have a couple more topics as well. So yeah.
So but just for this, instead of the whole episode being releases, it's just gonna be topics 3 and 4, and we're kind of just like cutting out the we're just not even gonna mention the songs that we don't want to talk about, and just cutting out some of the fluff like the date that it came out, because that doesn't really matter.
Rest in peace. It's a ballad, basically.
Comment in the full episode or the parts like. If you like this way more than the old way, or if you like the old way more, so we can go back to it, or just whatever people are more interested in.
Yep. All right. So, as always, as you saw before, I'm joined by Nate.
Give a little more love. Give a little more time.
Red Velvet. It's one of my favorite songs by them, too.
I agreed.
Not a lot, just a little.
From Rookie.
A little.
All right, and as always as well, I'm joined by Andrew, who usually has three things.
I usually have stuff on my wall either, but I'm moving, so.
Yeah. All your amiibos are gone.
Yeah, well, then, yeah.
Your amiibos, but he's still got the Pip Boy.
Yeah, I have to figure out a way to pack all this stuff without destroying it, but we'll see. Anyway, number one, no Infinity War spoilers, but oh my god, it was amazing. I know it's probably
actually,
kind of like...
If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's honestly like what, as a Marvel fan, it's one of my favorite movies. Like, ever.
Yeah, I think it's my number one.
I don't know. Like, I'd have to. I'm planning on rewatching all of them, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close. Easily.
Yeah, it might be recency bias, but currently it's my number one. Oh man, yeah, I've rewatched. I'm at Thor 2 right now. Like, and I just don't want to watch it because Thor
2. Hey, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, you have.
It's 100% the worst one. It's not. I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Dude,
like
the Dark Elves suck.
Yeah, I don't hate it like the world. I think it's an okay movie, but it's easily the worst of the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Also, I'm playing God of War, which is just a way better Norse mythology story.
But I mean, they have Christopher Eccleston, aka like the second best Doctor Who incarnation.
Yeah, and he does literally new acting.
He kind of hates acting anyway, but like if I were to put into context how much I like, at least just on a like gut feeling, how much I love that movie, it gave me basically like the same chills that the end of Rogue One did, and I love Rogue One, so that should just put it in perspective how much I ended up loving that movie. So yeah, seriously, go see it if you're living under a rock, like literally just like throw the rock out of the window or something like that. I don't know. Go see it. Number two.
Wait, if you're living under a rock, you don't have any windows.
I don't know. They like throw it at somebody else's window. I don't know. Number two. For those of you that watched the unit, which is not me, you might have... Minju wasn't on the unit, though, unfortunately.
No.
Unit Kim was on the unit, though.
Minju was on K-Pop Star.
Yeah, she was on K-Pop Star. So, for those that have been following either of those, or for those of you like Jacob that are still mourning the arc, we have found new salvation in a group called... Khan!
Yeah. They're not a group, they're a duo, but they're a group, but it's just two of them.
Yeah, but just like seriously, I watched that the cover they did of Bruno Mars and the Cardi B remix of Finesse. Amazing. Amazing. Like that's exactly what I want from that group, and it's so good. I want more New Jack. We'll get into the New Jack Swing later, but yeah, it was so perfect. So we'll put a link in the description, because yeah, Khan, you have to watch them. You have to seriously. I think they could do well.
They're turning out well, and I hope they stick with sort of like the hip hop R&B sort of side, because I think they'd be really, really strong, and I think they could get a decent following.
And because
they should also get good.
Unikim's a great singer and a great rapper too. I was shocked at how well she pulled it off. Anyway, Nate, you're about to... This
they
is kind
should
of like
also
a
get
review.
Tiger JK to feature on the track like they did on Minju's debut solo thingy.
Yunus.
Or No, wasn't that a Minju song featuring Yuna?
No, that was Yuna.
Was it?
Wait, yeah, Yuna came, the Molly Molly Molly.
Oh no, wasn't he on Minju's song too?
Was he really? I don't remember this.
I think he was also featured on Minju's song.
I thought you were the Arc stan.
That also has Yuna on it.
Anyway.
Goodbye Rain or whatever it's called.
No, that's it's got Hyungyu from Bromance.
Oh no, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Bromance, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Anyway. Number three.
Yeah, I got that mixed up.
Yeah, number three, which is kind of a serious sort of thing. I just want to give so much love and shout outs and prayers to Total Biscuit. Just very recently, he announced that basically he has to retire. For those that don't know, he's a very prominent video game critic, mostly in PC games. He's very much the inspiration for our format for this show, like how we like do our overlays and everything. Like, yeah, so he's a very big influence on this show. And for the past couple of years, he's been struggling with cancer and basically just sort of reached the point where he has to, like, it's very slim odds at this point. It sucks. It couldn't have happened to like such a good guy, like such an influential like member of the gaming community. So yeah, just really like I just want to give him all my love, and I hope that like it's just been incredible how he's been able to survive like this long when he was given so like this much of a chance to live until this point. So yeah, it's just yeah, I it sucks, and I hope that like in some way we can do his legacy proud by covering Korean pop music or just being like I guess reminiscent of his critical style. So yeah, I don't want to break it down too much, but he's definitely an important like influence for us.
Yep. Was that third thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, I'm Jacob. You
no
knew that.
No
blown out. Hashtag no blown out. Hashtag one. Where's blown out.
Hashtag 69.
Yep.
If somebody wants to buy Nate a, or no, Jacob a blowout,
buy
Jacob.
Me a sure, no. Buy me one too. I don't care.
If somebody wants to buy Jacob a blowout.
I think it's at my house. I have no idea where it is. So, anyways,
no,
I have to pack up.
That was
I
the last time you
week,
used
so
him
I might
was at
find
home.
It.
Oh
so,
no! Here's what we can do. Here's how we can we're famous now. We can like influence our fame because there's probably a lot of new people.
Yeah, we're so famous. With our 180
somebody,
subs.
The first person to bring Jacob a blowout at KCON New York wins, I don't know, something.
You'll win the Truly Daybok Fan
There's
of
no
the Year.
Yeah,
win
Fan of the Year.
Fan of
all
the Year
180
award.
Of them.
Hey, by then we'll be over 200 probably by the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that'd be actually be crazy being recognized when you only have like less than 100, less than 200.
Oh, what? Victoria said she was going, so
yeah.
There's at least one fan that'll be there.
You better be there, Victoria. You better be there.
Anyways.
That was not a
now,
threat.
We can get into topic one, which is
Super Korean Serial.
War ending.
Yep.
Last week? Or is it this week?
It's a complicated thing, but we'll...
Yeah, I mean, it's been going on for talks.
Yeah, but
progress.
The thing where they shook hands.
Yeah, that was... I want to say it was last week.
It was cool.
Yeah, that
well,
was
it was... I mean...
It
yeah,
was about like it was a little over a week ago. Well, two weeks by the time this goes up. So
yeah.
Anyways, Andrew, with the news.
All right. So, I mean, we actually the very early like episodes of the Daybot Cast, we actually covered a topic regarding the Korean War and how. Yeah. I remember, like, I clearly, vividly remember towards the end of that. I'm just like, I hope we see not necessarily reunification, but I hope we see end to like the war in my lifetime. Like little did we know. Only a year later that this would end up happening. It's insane. So, just to give a bit of a background on the Korean War, for this was going to be basically like a bit of a history lesson for those of you. So, like, strap in. I'll try to keep it simple. Basically, Korea went to the North Korea and South Korea went to war with each other in like the 50s. Basically a proxy war between essentially it was like the first major conflict of the Cold War where basically there's just like communism versus like capitalism, so it's a proxy war. Basically US and Russia were fighting through both North Korea and South Korea. So war ends in a stalemate. They decide to basically almost cut the country in half right at the 36th parallel, and they basically they create what's called the demilitarized zone, or the DMZ, where it's a guarded armed border separating North and South Korea. And technically speaking, even though there hasn't been any like shots fired since in over like 50-60 years, they were still at war. But as of very recently, they have become, or they're in the process of beginning these peace talks in where they would actually like dissolve the state of war completely, which
they signed an armistice.
Yeah, which is incredible.
Not a peace treaty.
Yeah.
So technically the war still was on. They just weren't fighting it.
Yeah, so basically the official document name
other than blasting Big Bang across the border.
In 2021. It's interesting. There's going to be an entire generation that don't understand or that won't understand like how like the real weird mind games that they play over the DMZ.
Yeah, the giant flags and
just like or how like they obviously since like media and like all that sort of stuff is controlled in North Korea. They're, I guess, some guerrilla tactics they'd use is they'd airdrop like music and movies and all that sort of stuff. And they keep in Korea, even though most like first world countries have switched to completely digital television signals, they keep analog television signals so that people in North Korea can watch South Korean television, so they can see
like satellite.
Yeah, or no,
no, like just over the air.
Yeah, just like the old antenna ones. Yeah. So that basically they can still like keep up with news and that sort of stuff. So like if they want to keep them informed. So yeah, it effectively I guess all that's ending. And I mean, I'd say the most like impactful sort of segment of this is when literally like Moon Jae-in and Kim Jong-un, like, they're at the DMZ, and, like, they walk, like, literally across the border, and, like, they're shaking hands. Like, I have the video up right now from ABC in courtesy of Australia. So, like, it's so crazy to see, like, how this just sort of happened so suddenly. Like, literally, we just had, the Olympics, not too long ago, just, like, a couple of months ago, and I guess the underlying theme of the Olympics was that they were trying to, like, push for peace, and I mean, like you started to see the tensions like melting where Kim Jong-un's sister went to visit the opening ceremonies and they walked in as one unified Korea and all that sort of stuff and I know it's usually with the Olympics it's sort of a pipe dream that when they're talking about like oh we want world peace and all this sort of stuff like usually after that they just start bombing shit like not even like when Russia hosted the Olympics, not even like a couple weeks after it ended, they invaded Georgia. So, and for this to happen, it's just incredible. So I guess I want to get your guys' thoughts on it, basically.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's obviously it's a really good thing that this is happening. I honestly don't think it's going to change much. Like you said, like I don't think they're going to stop sending media over or anything because North Korea is not going to change. They're still going to be like super propaganda, like super closed borders. The DMZ is still going to exist. There's still going to be soldiers aren't like there. I feel like it's not like they're just going to pull everything out, open the borders and basically just like make it a open border or anything.
Well, I mean, doing that would be
too much.
Catastrophic.
That's too
much. Yeah, exactly.
Because it'd be like the Berlin Wall, where basically, the famous, most of you probably weren't born when this happened, but like the famous images that you've probably seen in your textbook of like people like breaking down the Berlin Wall. At first, they weren't letting everyone over like the border between East and West Germany. It was only people that had certain passports and everything. Afterwards, there was just such a flood of people. They're just like, okay, everyone, let everyone through. And then that's when you get those iconic scenes. I don't think North Korea wants any of that, honestly, because they know everyone would just make for hell or high water, like make their way to South Korea. And I'm sure South Korea wouldn't want, like, that's basically like a huge refugee sort of situation, too. I don't know if they'd have the infrastructure to sort of deal with that at this point.
It definitely would have that same effect, actually. Also, none of us were born.
I was going to say, even I wasn't alive.
Like, yeah, 1989.
But I mean, like, technically, the Iron Curtain didn't fall until, like, 91, even though the Berlin Wall was... Well,
yeah, Iron Curtain's completely different, though.
Yeah,
that's
but
like countries,
but,
USSR.
Yeah, it definitely. Yeah. That's the. I guess that was like the fall of communism in a way. Yeah. But yeah, it's. Yeah, I feel like.
Wait, hold on. What? Chance to make Nate feel old. Were you born before or after the fall of communism?
I was born before. Barely.
But in all seriousness, no, I feel like.
Hey, Communism hasn't fallen. We still have North Korea.
It was called the fall of communism. Right?
Oh wait, no. Oh yeah. My God. Okay, this is saying 1989. Hmm. So I wasn't. It was 1989 to 1922. It is from 89 to 92. So it depends on where you start
yeah,
or the
yeah.
end.
Yeah, the Iron Curtain didn't completely fall until.
Because I wasn't alive when the Berlin Wall came down, and that was like the beginning of it. I was alive by the end of it.
Yeah, but.
But still. Sure.
The USSR was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
In a way, this feels like. This kind of feels like this generation's Berlin Wall situation, in a way.
Yeah.
We'll see what comes after it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
I don't know if it's.
If the DMZ comes down, then yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah.
That. I think right now it's more similar to, like. I don't know, like China and Taiwan.
Yeah.
Like, they're just saying that they're at peace, but, like, nothing's really going to change that much.
So I think this is a huge step. Though,
but
I
yeah, exactly. It's obviously a first step.
I don't think that unification is even in the cards at all, in my opinion.
No.
Mm-hmm. Like, but that being said, I think North Korea is still in constant danger of everything falling down.
Falling apart, yeah.
Because, like, with the stuff being sent over constantly and stuff like that, the citizens are becoming more and more aware of, like, what's actually going on. Because, like, I've seen a few, like, again, it's just stuff I've seen on YouTube, but, like, I think it's, like, Vice documentaries and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
people go into North
Korea and, you know, interview people and whatnot, and they're, sure enough, are coming more and more aware of everything.
Yeah, so. I think reunification's not possible until, like, the entire regime is gone, destroyed.
Basically. And I mean, if you, in comparison to, like, Kim Jong-il or Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-un is, like, nowhere near that level of, like, he's kind of insane still, but he's nowhere near the level of insanity that his father and his grandfather were. I mean, Kim Il-sung is straight up, like, a murderer or whatever, so... Like,
I mean, I think a lot of the root of his insanity is, like, he's trying to be like his grandfather.
Yeah, he's trying to... He,
that's where the whole look from, like, his wardrobe, his hairstyle,
yeah,
everything.
It definitely feels like he's trying to live up to that legacy, but, I mean, he's his own guy. Like, unlike his father and his grandfather, he had a Western education. He went to school in Europe. He's very intelligent, like, despite being, like, kind of, like, portrayed as, like...
Didn't he go to college here?
Yeah, he studied abroad. Like, he's not ignorant to, like, the outside world. He knows the sort of benefits of, like, how things work in terms of capitalism. Yep. And I mean, like, sure, he's literally like, I don't want to, like, sort of, like, downplay it, but he's kind of a regular dude. Like, he plays video games. Like, he plays World of Tanks. Like, you could see whenever, like, you could follow Steam, and, like, whenever something pops up in North Korea, that's Kim Jong-un, like, playing World of Tanks or some other Steam game. Like, he listens to, like, music videos and all this sort of stuff. Like, he's definitely more receptive to, like, the outside world than his father and grandfather were, which is why, like, it's not surprising that he's... And with that, and, like, I guess basically just maybe, like, getting tired of, like, all of, like, the pressure and all this sort of stuff, it's not surprising that he's willing to, like, extend an olive branch in this sort of way.
I think another thing to take into consideration is the fact that a lot of North Korean defectors get, like, discriminated against when they're in South Korea. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another problem as well, is they're going to have to... They're going to have a lot of awareness campaigns, I guess, if anything like that ever were to happen. Because, yeah, there's a lot of, like, even in South Korea, there's a lot of misconceptions about life in North Korea, and just as there are in North Korea about the outside world. So, yep.
And the interesting thing is that, basically, from what I know, like, South Korea is a very, very conservative country, as most Asian countries are. For the most part, most of them don't want anything to do with North Korea because they feel they feel like it'd be such a burden to take it, like, on all.
Koreans don't want reunification because the amount of money it would cost to build that country and bring it into the first world, like, would be enormous.
Yeah, especially when you consider
North Korea's gain would be a lot of South Korean's loss.
South Korea would have to pay for most of it. It's or China would pay for it, and then they would just take that land, like, and it wouldn't really be reunification. It would just be China,
yeah,
taking over half of the North Korean peninsula or Korean peninsula.
I mean, with this sort of situation, again, it's sort of like, I guess how I'd want to see, or how I'd want to position this, again, one, it being a first start, and two, it's definitely, again, I feel like it is interesting to see how most Koreans will react to this, because some of it, like, again, most, the Blue House was, like, I guess highly criticized for, I guess, being more warm, or, like, being more willing to, like, have peace talks and negotiations with, with Kim Jong-un and the North Korean regime, whereas,
So is that the South Korean White House? Is the Blue House?
Yeah, it's the Blue House.
Okay. With Park Chan-hee, I mean, like, well, it's crazy how we went from, like, somebody that was, like, or investigated for corruption, ousted, and to a president that literally got, like, peace talks getting to work. Like, that's insane. But that aside, like, previous regime or previous presidencies were very, like, they didn't want any, or they wanted no peace talks, or they wanted no open communication whatsoever with North Korea. But yeah, again, with the I guess the more liberal side of the spectrum taking over in the aftermath of those the impeachment and the elections, yeah, the Blue House is definitely way more willing to get it done. And also, again, I don't want to, like, delve into too much politics or whatever, because this isn't that isn't really the point of this show. But so it's very interesting to see, like how the U.S. has been involved in all of this, because, I mean, again, like, U.S. is very much one of, like, the biggest ally that South Korea has, and it's.
Well, I mean, South Korea is one of the U.S.'s biggest allies.
If the U.S. didn't have a military presence in South Korea, like, North Korea would have bombed them by now, because there's nothing, the only thing, basically the only thing that kept North Korea from invading or, like, attacking South Korea was the threat of, like, pissing off the U.S. So, like, I mean, like, surprisingly, this has been all building up since, like, Obama was in office, which was, like, I mean, even was, like, just 2 years ago, but when under the Obama administration, they started a policy of sanctions, not specifically on North Korea, but on North Korean allies. So what they do is, like, okay, anyone that was giving aid to North Korea or being sympathetic to North Korea, they'll give some type of sanctions on it, on them. So it would put pressure on their allies to be like, okay, or on North Korea allies, like, okay, stop acting like stupid, like, basically just like, yeah, just like discipline like a whiny child or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is basically what a lot of, like, North Korean aggression has been over the past, like, 20, 30 years. Under the Obama administration, they actually, there was never a case where they imposed those sanctions, but under the Trump administration, they actually did. They were very, very hard line on these sanctions. So it's very interesting to see, like, again, both sides of even, like, the American political spectrum have some sort of influence on this decision. And I mean, for, yeah, as crazy as it's been, like, yeah, it's or as crazy divided as it's been, yeah, definitely both sides of the spectrum can definitely take credit for it, because, yeah, if Obama never implemented this sort of sanctions, the Trump administration would have never, like, gone through with him in the first place, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just not to delve it, again, too much into politics or just drag this out too much. I guess where do you guys see this going in the future? Like, do you really think that, like, any type of, do you think we can, maybe not now, like, I don't think they'll end up opening the border, but do you think that there will be open trade, I don't know, like, free pass between the borders?
I think they'll be more lenient going forward, like, both sides, but I think it's going to be slow but sure.
Yeah.
Than, you know, very fast. Like, it's still going to take many years before we see any more, like, large-scale progress, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how I feel. Like, nothing's going to change in the short term. I think slowly, unless something changes in, I don't know, the next Korean election, the president's super conservative and shuts everything down again. Like, if they keep going through with this, yeah, I think eventually we'll see more open borders and more open trade and ideas and stuff, but it's gonna take a long time. It's definitely not anything short term.
I mean, it took them God, it's been almost it's been well over 60 years just to get to this point where they're about to end the Korean War. Imagine how much longer it might take for them just to get to normalize relations. And it's interesting, the official document that they signed, because another one of the iconic scenes was them, like, they were I don't know exactly where the signing took place, maybe somewhere near the DMZ, but yeah, they were signing this, what is called the, oh god, I don't know how to pronounce this, the Panmunjom Declaration, which is sort of like the, I guess, their plan going forward. And reading through this just a bit, some of the stuff they're talking about is South and North Korea will reconnect the blood relations and of the people and bring forward the future of co-prosperity and unification led by Koreans. So yeah, they're basically talking about, like, okay, we'll work together. They want to end the sort of, alleviate military tension, solid peace regime, bring an end to the unnatural state of armistice. Yeah, basically, it definitely seems like they're like both sides are willing to play ball, especially because North Korea is definitely on its last leg when it comes to like food supply and all this. Sort of
resources. Well, the thing is, like you said, like the Trump administration started pushing these sanctions to actually like follow through with them, and so China started sanctioning North Korea, and I think like they were very heavily damaged by that.
I mean, China's North Korea is like
only, like the only source ally. Of anything.
Oh yeah, only ally. They're
like
only
all
one.
Their resources. Like everything comes from them.
So
like when they stopped, they're just like that's what I think truly pushed this through was Trump pushing sanctions to China and China pushing sanctions to North Korea to get North Korea to actually like stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess just on my end, I am very optimistic on it. When I first heard it, there was a lot of just like I guess skepticism coming out of it because especially on like places like Reddit where they're like I went to like
where people
Korea.
Have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, I mean, people have no idea what they're talking about in the first place. But basically, according to like the Korean like specific Korean subreddit, like the news was sort of breaking from like what you would consider like I guess a tabloid sort of news service. So there was a lot of skepticism coming out of it. But I guess once these actual like confirmations came through, I guess they were more receptive to it. But the most impactful comment that I saw was from somebody on like Reddit World News, and they're talking about how I don't know if they're an expat or whatever, but they're talking about how their mom like started crying when they saw the news because basically it's just been literally a generation since the last time they've had any sort of like peace talks between the two countries. So yeah, I feel like, even though we really don't know what the future is, I feel like there's still, this is definitely like, it's a sliver of hope that I want to be optimistic about it.
Yeah, I mean, this has to happen. This has to be the first step. So, like, it's obviously a step in the right direction. Yep. Depending on how long it takes to take that next step is another question. But it's not like there's anything bad could come of this. I mean, they need to do this to continue onward. So, yeah, it's definitely a good thing. There's definitely hope for the future.
Yeah, I feel like unlike the Middle East conflict, where basically you've had so many like peace talks,
thousands of years. Of
yeah,
war.
Like for like yeah, because
religious war.
Yeah, because I mean, like everyone thought, between like Netanyahu and Arafat, they got everything figured out between Palestine and Israel, and then like Israel gave up the Gaza Strip and everything, and they're still sending bombs over at each other. Like unlike that situation, where basically it's just deeply rooted like racial and like population sort of things, where like it's just like religious.
Yeah.
Differences. Like these are both Koreans. Like I feel like they're more willing to come together on the fact that they come from similar ancestry. Like this like that stretches
same
like
ancestry.
Well before like the Korean War ever started. So I feel like they're more willing to come together in that way.
Yeah, I mean it was less than 100 years ago that they were one country. Like, it might be more than that now. I'm not 100% sure when it was actually split.
There are blood or there are generations of people that they went through Japanese occupation together. They went through World War II together and like all this sort of stuff. Like so, yeah. I think like even though as outsiders, like we really don't know that much about it. And honestly, like there's only so much that like textbooks and information off of like CNN and Wikipedia can tell us. But it is still a good step, and I really hope that this is, I really hope that we're like 5-6 years like down the road, like we're talking about like how where this is like this is what started the change, like this is like this again, where this is, we look back on this as a, like a very important moment of history. Like this is where an entire chapter of history, and not just like a, I don't know, like another like page.
Yeah, yeah. If we ever want to get real deep into politics, I could get one of the guys I studied abroad with who does like news shows in like Southeast Asia for like political correspondent.
That'd be interesting.
He's like, he's American, but yeah, he just studied like Asian politics and has a bunch of politics degrees and does like news correspondence for politics in Asia.
That's definitely an interesting topic. And
like, so if we ever want to get like real deep into North and South Korea politics, we could bring it. I could probably ask him. He'd probably do it.
Cool. All right. So with that, I guess we can go into topic two.
Topic two. Guys. I saw Red Velvet. I got to see Red Velvet. It was awesome.
Jokes on you. We're seeing them too.
Yeah, but I got to see fan meet Red Velvet, which was the best part. So, yeah, I saw Red Velvet in Chicago last weekend, as of recording. And I just figured I'd go through what they did, talk about it, and kind of compare it to the other two fan meets that I've done in the last year, which were Card and Day 6. So I'll just go through like the schedule of everything first. So they started, they opened up, obviously they're just like during seating, they're just playing music or whatever. They opened up with Red Flavor. So they came out and just did straight up Red Flavor, like straight up. Then they played a fan made video of just a bunch of fans like greeting them and saying like, "Hey, we love you." Like some like the Australian dude was like, "Hey, come to Australia," and people from Chicago were welcoming them and doing like cover dances and stuff. And then they told us they had a special video, and Joy left us a little message because Joy couldn't make it because of her drama. So it was everyone, the other four were there, but Joy was not.
Did that throw you, did that kind of throw you for a loop when you heard the songs, or how well were they able to perform as four?
Yeah, it was fine. They covered all of her lines and everything. So yeah, it worked better than I'd expected. I mean, they've known that she wasn't able to come for a while, so I'm sure they prepared pretty well for it. So yeah, like the dances didn't look too weird, because they actually like covered it. When they did random to play dance, and that looked weird because for those they actually did their normal formation, so there was like holes in it. But like when they were actually performing songs, like they did it as a group of four, so it didn't look weird.
Hopefully she's there at KCON.
Oh, yeah, I think she would be, because, I mean, KCON's, like, basically M Countdown. Like, I think they're going to plan around that. This was just a small little fan meet. Yaren
wasn't there last year.
That's true.
Well, because I think...
Wasn't she in the jungle, though?
She was in, like, freaking Law of the Jungle,
she was doing Law of the Jungle, so she was literally in another country for, like, weeks.
Yeah.
So that's why. But
for those that don't know, Law of the Jungle is basically, like, Korean Survivor, so...
With celebrities, not
with
random
celebrities,
people.
Yeah.
So yeah, after the Joy video, they did like a Q&A, like they do at fan meets. So they bring out a board with like a bunch of questions. They all just pick questions off the board that fans wrote, and answer them. Highlights that came out of that. We could get, supposed new hairstyles or hair colors that they might have that they want to do. Seulgi with shoulder length hair might happen soon. Goodness. I know it's going to be great. What else did they say? God, I'm blanking. I should have wrote down more details. I mean, I didn't record the Q&A session, I don't think, so I won't answer this. Well, that's really all I remember. Soulgi with shoulder-length hair, and someone suggested she make it silver.
I
don't know if
that
would happen.
I'm down for that. Are you kidding me? Silver hair is so fire right now.
And Wendy was like, I don't know. And then at the end, she just did fan service and said, she just did fan service. She's like, I want to go back to debut hair. So we'll see if she brings back the two-tone.
The blue thing.
Yeah, brown hair with blue.
I don't know about that.
And another really good... So Yeri was adorable this whole time. Like, her facial expressions and everything, she's just completely adorable.
Well, she's the mom.
And they asked her what her ideal type was, and she just couldn't answer, and so she just said her fans. And then
she just doesn't want to get crucified. Like,
And then the MC guy was like, "Are there any guys out there? Hey, you guys all have a chance now." So he like played it up like she meant literally her male fans,
and then everybody was just like, "Yeah."
So that was kind of funny. But yeah, they did questions like. Yeri answered like, does she want to or they asked like if they wanted to produce any music or, I don't remember what else, like what Irene got asked. Yeah. Two of them picked hair questions. So that's like, that was a big part of it. Then they did Moonlight Melody, which is the ballad from, I don't know if it was the repackage or.
It was originally on.
On Perfect?
Yeah, what was the original one? Not Perfect Red Velvet.
Perfect Velvet.
Perfect Velvet, yeah.
Perfect Velvet and then The Perfect Red Velvet.
Yeah.
So it was on Perfect Velvet, yeah.
It was the Velvet track off of that album.
It was like their straight ballad. Like, it wasn't an R&B style song. It's just literally ballad.
Yeah.
So they performed that. Then they performed Russian Roulette. And then they did Random Play Dance, which was great. And I think... So, at first, Yeri screwed up. Then Irene screwed up. And then, at the end, it looked like Wendy screwed up, but it turned out she was the only one who got it right, and the other three screwed up. So Wendy got to choose who did the punishment, which was sexy dance.
I saw that on the internet.
She was like, well, I was the only one who was right, so why don't all three of them have to do it?
Hey.
So they all had to do it, and Yeri was like super adorable and didn't know how to do it, and she was like scared about doing it the whole time.
Did Wendy
pulling through for us?
Did Yeri
just aegyo?
she was just like jumping around and like
okay, that's so basically she
and like trying to be sexy dancing and doing it horribly.
I saw the Solgi part though.
And then so then Irene did it, then Solgi did it. Then obviously after Solgi, everyone wanted Wendy to do it because the other three did it, so she has to do it. And so she did it. She tore it up. Surprisingly.
I'm pretty sure these things like only happen in American fan meets because I've never heard of them being like, oh, you have to do a sexy dance.
Yeah,
if they did on Korean television, like the netizens would like flip a shit or something like that.
Oh, yeah, they would.
So yeah, that was Random Play Dance was fun, and obviously Sexy Dance Punishments was really good. I caught all this on camera, by the way. I recorded all the performances, so I'm going to put up a video eventually, hopefully by the end of this week. Then they did the stupidest game ever that took way too long and was horribly horrible. This must be something that Subculture was trying that was new, and it clearly did not go over well. Basically, like, it was fine, but it just took too long, and it was not, like, very... there wasn't a lot of fan engagement. It wasn't very fun. Basically, what they did, it's like, you know those, there's, like, a quiz app that's really popular where, like, if you get a question wrong, you're out.
Oh, HG like, Trivia.
So it was like that, but what it was there would be a question for one of the members, and it'd be one of two choices. And all the audience was participating. You had to raise either your right or left hand. And then if you picked the right question, you got to stay standing. If you picked the wrong question, you had to sit down. Mm. There was no way to monitor if people were cheating.
Yeah. Oh,